If you're able and willing, we invite you to stand with us as we seek the Lord together. Would you pray with me? Lord of hosts, we would honor you, the one who is enthroned upon the praises of your people. You are the God whose name is holy, whose name is just, whose name is true. And, O Lord Jesus, this night we would all hail the power of your holy and sacred name. And, O gracious Lord, even as we would do so, Lord, we would confess that our language breaks down. Lord, that our hearts remain burdened. Lord, that we have no ability to honor you perfectly. Lord, that it is not within us to glorify you rightly. Lord, we confess to you that we are bent to promote and glorify self and to honor our own name and to promote our own reputation. Lord, we confess that we dishonor your great and perfect name. And we confess that we approach you with a lack of reverence and awe. And we confess that we misuse your name, your titles, your attributes. Lord, we use your attributes to bolster our vocabulary, to thunder away in rage or malice. Lord, we confess to you that we have grossly misused your pure and sacred titles, your attributes, your ordinances, your word, your works. And so, Lord of heaven, we would bow with the deepest submission before your throne this night, and we would ask, we would plead that you would pardon. Lord, that you would pardon our horrendous trampling upon your day, your word, your truth, and the misusing of your name. Lord, that this night you would speak the word of grace and mercy to us. Lord, this night we would rest upon the truth that you declare of yourself, that you are a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and who will by no means clear the guilty. Oh, Lord, we would trust this night that you are good and forgiving and abundant in steadfast love to all who call upon you. We would trust this night that there is forgiveness with you so that you might be feared. Oh, that this night, Lord, we pray that you would gladden the souls of your servants. Lord, that you would gladden our souls by lifting us out of the pit, that you would gladden our souls by removing the burden of sin. Lord, we come weary and heavy laden unto you for rest this night, and so we ask that you would indeed grant that sweet, complete rest in your Son. Oh, how we rejoice this night that there remains the keeping of the Sabbath for the people of God. Oh, Lord Jesus, that on this first day of the week, you entered into your rest, completing the work which was given to you to do. Oh, Lord Christ, we pray that you would lead each of us by faith into that same rest. Lord, that this night we would know the sheer joy of union and communion with Christ. And Lord, that you would place your name upon our lips and that it would be our highest joy to glorify and to honor your great and sacred name. And, oh Lord, we plead with you, Lord, that you would purify our tongues. Lord, let our mouths be touched with that live coal from the altar, just as you touched the lips of the prophet in the days of old. And we pray, Lord, that our sin might be removed, or that our transgressions might be pardoned, and then that you would open our mouths, that we would declare the glory of the Holy One of Israel. Lord Jesus, we look to you, the King and Head of the Church, and we plead with you. O Lord, how we would plead the glory of your name in all the earth. O Lord God, would you bless this world in which we live, and would you bless us? Would you cause your face to shine upon us, that your way might be known upon the earth, your saving power among all the nations. Lord, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Lord, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you guide the nations of the earth and you judge the peoples with equity. Oh, let all the ends of the earth fear you, O God. We pray you would send your victorious word abroad, that you would bring the strangers home. Lord, we long to see your churches full, that all the chosen race might with one heart, with one voice, with one soul, sing your amazing grace. And so, Lord, we ask that you would invigorate, that you would revive your church in the midst of the years. Lord, just as you have done in the days of old, in the generations past, we pray that you would grant to your church a reviving. Lord, that you would awaken her from the dust. Lord, that she would mount up with wings as eagles. Lord, that she would point with a straight finger to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Lord, that she would declare and reflect the beauty of her King. Lord, we pray that tonight your word would go forth. And, oh, Lord, that you would cause it to take deep root. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would bless your church here in this room and throughout this land. We pray that you would anoint the preachers of your gospel and to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach it, and that your Spirit would fill them mightily. We ask that you would anoint the elders and the deacons, and, O Lord, that you would grant a sweet anointing to their labors. Would you establish the works of their hands? Would you cause your word to grow and multiply? We pray that you would honor the covenant with your Son, to give unto him the nations as his inheritance and the ends of the earth as his possession. And so we pray that you would do this through the building up of your church, that the gospel would go forth clearly and powerfully, and that you, the covenant Lord, would draw your covenant people. Oh, would you cause them to pass from darkness to light, from death to life, from the power of Satan unto God. Lord, this night we pray that you would honor the name of your Son, that the name of Jesus would be honored and praised and adored with the deepest piety, with the richest love, with the most wholesome fear of the Lord. So, Holy Spirit, would you cause your word to go forth? Would you open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your law? And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Tonight our text will come from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Matthew. From Matthew and chapter 6 and verse 9, where Jesus says, "Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." What do you believe prayer actually does? Can I ask you to consider that question with me? What do you believe prayer actually does? And I want you to hear, as we hear our Savior's instructions regarding prayer, right? Here is the King and head of the church, and he's giving you specific instruction. He's saying, pray then like this. Prayer is a part of worship. We are to worship as he has instructed. When he says to pray then like this, I want you to notice that your petitions are actually wielded by a sovereign God for the shaping of history, the reforming of the church, and the glorifying of his name. In other words, he uses even the broken, stuttering, stammering petitions of his children to advance his cause. He uses means. And I want you to hear that this sovereign Lord, this God of glory that he uses, he chooses to use the petitions of his ransomed, redeemed, renewed people to accomplish his will. It's another reason why you and I can come boldly. Bold, we approach the eternal throne. You remember this last Lord's Day evening? Bold, we approach the eternal throne. We approach him as children. We approach him with reverence and with joy. We approach him pleading the promises of God. And here, as we move into the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, how does it begin? The first petition of the Lord's Prayer. Our Savior's instructions regarding how to pray, he's essentially saying to you, the chief end of prayer is the chief end of man. What is the chief end of man? Well, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. What is the chief end of prayer? Is it not to glorify God? When he says here in verse 9, hallowed be your name, he is directing our attention to the very first priority, the utmost concern. When you and I come to the throne of grace, what is of first concern, of immediate, urgent petition? Y'all, the very first need and desire of a newborn soul is the glory of the Lord, the hallowing of his name. What does it mean to hallow? Hallowed be your name? I used to wonder that question when I was a child. What does that mean, hallowed? Well, it's simply saying, let your name be openly recognized as holy and sacred. Let your name be openly declared. Let it be publicly known. In other words, let your name be glorified. What is it to glorify God? Kids, you remember the catechism? How do you glorify God? By loving him and doing what he commands. Well, how is it that you glorify God? Essentially, to glorify him, to glorify his name, means that you declare and you reflect. You declare who he is by what you say, and you reflect who he is by how you live. So you declare the beauty and the holiness and the truth of God through the spoken word, and then you reflect the beauty and the holiness and the truth of God by how you live. What is it to glorify God? It is to speak and it is to walk. It is to declare and it is to reflect. And here is this first petition of the Lord's Prayer. And when you and I fall on our knees before the throne of grace, this is of utmost concern, that his name be openly declared and reflected. this petition, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, we are pleading the glory of the Lord. That is what we desire. When we pray for the revival of the church, we are pleading for the glory of the Lord. When we ask Him to order our steps in the coming year, we are pleading for the glory of the Lord, that His holiness would be declared and reflected, that all His attributes would be spoken and that they would be reflected in the way that we live and move and walk. So we plead the glory. Just as we sang earlier tonight, singing Psalm 96, His glory to all nations show, His deeds let judgments bless, His glory to all the nations show. And so we plead His glory, first of all, in the world. We ask that He would be glorified in the world at large. You could turn this evening, when you go home, and you could read and pray over Psalm 67. And there in Psalm 67, you would read, O God, be merciful or be gracious unto us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us, that your way would be known upon the earth, your saving power among all nations. And when we plead for His glory, we are pleading. We're pleading for the world. When the Christian prays, when the church voices her petition, she's praying for the world at large. She's praying for souls to be drawn to the light of Christ. She's praying for conversions. And is that not the answer? When you think of all the ugliness, all the vileness, when you think of what the world has become, all the sin, all the self-destructiveness, all the heinous rebellion against the will of God, trampling upon His law, when you think of all that the world has become, is that not the answer? That there would be mighty conversions, that there would be definite, clear conversions, souls turning from darkness to light. Would that not make a complete turnabout difference in your own family, on your own street, in our state, and throughout the whole land? Is that not exactly the answer? You turn on the news, and what do you see? It proves the point. The bad news that's reported simply proves the point that the answer would be that the nations be drawn to the light of the world. You read Psalm 86. Psalm 86 speaks beautifully about the mercy of God. And here is the psalmist praying, "Gladden the soul of your servant." And he prays there in Psalm 86, "You, Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to those who call upon you." Well, he also prays there in Psalm 86, "All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you." Now, as the Lord's church, we pray expectantly. We pray urgently. We pray fervently. That His saving power would be known upon the earth. And how is it made known? How is His name? How would it be made known in the earth? How would the world be turned to the King of Kings? Through the Word and the Spirit. Through the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, using the Word, using the Gospel, using it publicly and house to house, that His name might be honored. This is the first and foremost concern of the Christian as you and I go before His throne. We plead the glory. We plead His glory in the world. We plead His glory also in the church. So we are concerned to have a burden for the lost, and oh, that this congregation would be known as a fervently, vigorously evangelistic congregation. So we do. We pray for the world. We pray for society at large, that souls would be drawn to the light, to the mercy, to the goodness of God through His Word and Spirit. But we also pray for the church. We pray that His glory would be seen in His church. Is that not essentially what revival is? At its core, that is what revival is. It is the Lord visiting His church, visiting His people, causing His glory to pass by through His church, that His attributes, that His sovereignty, His holiness would grip His people and would so arrest the attentions of His bride. We plead the glory. We plead it for His church. How does His church glorify His name? How does she honor His name? Well, she honors His name by her profession. Who does she profess? Who does she profess to know? Well, she professes the name of the Lord Jesus. And by her outward, visible profession. Now, this is why we have visible church membership. By her profession of His name, publicly stating alignment and allegiance with His name. Now, she glorifies Him. She brings honor and glory to who He is. She points to Him through her solemn vows that are taken. She glorifies Him when she gathers. What are you doing tonight? Tonight, you're not only professing His name, you are also gathering in His name. If the windows were thrown open, and if this were a day when people are sitting on their porch, and if the praises were to be heard, what would that say? What honor, what fame, what glory would that bring to the name of Christ? Okay, our parking lot is really more across the street. But for the church at large, what does a full parking lot say of the glory of Christ? Why do we sing in that glorious hymn, "We long to see your church is full"? Why do we sing that? How sweet and awesome is the place. Why do we sing those words? We sing those words, and that is the heart cry of our soul, because we want His name to be honored. Why do you want the church to be revived? You want the church to be revived, not just to get people in the door. It is because of the glory of His name. Hallowed be your name. She honors Him by what she professes, by who she professes. She glorifies Him every time she gathers. And she glorifies Him through her worship. As she worships according to as He has commanded, when she prays as He has instructed, what is she doing? She is bringing glory and honor to her heavenly bridegroom. Why do we love the principle that we worship only as God has commanded in His Word? Why do we love that principle so much? Why do we cling to that truth? Why would we fight tooth and nail for that principle that we worship only as God has commanded? And why would we search the Scriptures to make sure that our worship is conforming to how He has directed? Why? Why would we cling so tenaciously to that principle? Is it not out of love and zeal and honor to His great and glorious name? She honors Him by what she professes. She honors Him by simply gathering in His name. She honors Him by how she worships. She honors Christ by how she lives. Why would we vigorously pursue holiness and piety and sanctification? Why would we search the law of God to make sure that our thoughts, our affections, our decisions, our ethics, that it all aligns with His will? Why would we do those things? That's some rather intense work of the mind to search the Scriptures. That's an intense work of the will to make sure that your life aligns with His law, with the boundaries of His word. Why would we take the effort? Why? Because we have heard the glorious name. And we love the very sound of His voice. And we want His name to be honored. We pray that He would glorify Himself through every specific step and word that is taken, every breath that is drawn. We pray that our life would bring the highest possible glory to His name. And that glory comes as you and I most clearly declare and reflect who He is. Oh, we plead the glory. We plead His glory in the world at large. We plead His glory in the church. And we plead His glory in His providence. We ask that His name would be honored and praised through all of His works. The way the writers of our catechisms penned it. They took the Scriptures and they drew all the Scriptures together and they tried to write down what does it mean to pray this first petition. And part of what they said was, we're praying that He would dispose all things to His own glory. And so what are you doing when you pray, when you plead the glory of the Lord in His providence? You're recognizing that He, in a fatherly way, guides and He directs all events, all His creatures, all their actions. That He lovingly and with a fatherly hand sketches the canvas of history. Your history, your family's history, the church's story, the national record. When you pray this petition, you are recognizing that He is the one who orders history. And you are recognizing that this God of glory will wield the petitions of His people in the sketching of that canvas. Kids, some of you all are most skilled in the drawing and the painting of different pictures. You're artists. And you need to know that the Lord of glory is also an artist. And what does He do? He takes the petitions of His people and He uses those cries, He uses those intercessions to sketch and to paint the canvas of history. And so when this invading army comes into Judah, and King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 calls for a fast, and he hits his knees and he cries out, "O Lord, we know not what to do, but our eyes are upon You." And the Lord of glory responds, "You do not need to fight in this battle. You simply stand back and watch." And they appoint singers You go home and you read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and you tell me that the singing of song has no power. They appoint the singers. And they go out to battle, and they line up the singers, and when they begin to sing, the Lord arises and scatters his enemies. The prayers of his people are wielded in the sketching and the sculpting of history. What do you believe prayer does? Do you believe that the Lord hears and answers prayer? Do you believe that this sovereign Lord uses means? Do you believe that he uses even the broken, stammering, half-formed petitions of his children to accomplish his will? Here he is, and he is calling on his church. He says, pray then like this. And he calls upon you to plead his glory. So what is the chief end of man? Well, the chief end of man is the chief end of prayer. And the chief end of prayer is nothing less than the glory of the Lord. And you're falling before him, and you're pouring out your soul before him, and you're asking, Lord of glory, would you bring much honor to yourself? Would you show your glory in the world? Would you draw the nations to yourself, your saving power among all the nations? Would you cause all the ends of the earth to fear you? Would you use your word and your spirit? Would you use the singing of praise to overthrow the forces of darkness, to roll back the shadows, to realign families, to reestablish households? Or would you do this work of cleansing the streets? Would you do the work, O God, of causing your truth to rain down from heaven so that your name is honored in the midst of the earth? Lord of glory, would you look with favor upon your church? Would you cause her to profess the name of Jesus out of love and reverence for his person and his work? Would you cause them to gather in his name? Would you cause them to sing with the most vigorous love and fire of the Spirit? Lord, would you cause your church to rise and to glorify you in song, in truth, in preaching, in hearing? Lord, would you cause your name to be honored in the holiness of your people? And would you dispose all events of history, all the uncertainties of the coming year, all the unknown decisions of coming decades, would you dispose all things to your glory? Amen. Would he do so? Would you pray with me? Our gracious Lord, we would ask that you would give us this. Would you give us this burden? Would you place your petitions upon our lips? And the Lord Jesus, that we would seek nothing more than the pleasure of the Lord. Lord, would you pardon our misuse of your name, and would you replace that misuse with a most humble and fervent cry? Lord Jesus, you have been given a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that you, Lord Jesus, are Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, would you stir this cry from the world at large? Would you stir it from your church and order all things for the glory of your name? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.